Hey everybody, this is Russ from Metro Game Core. I've got a fun video for you today. We're going to take every major console release and then figure out which handheld I would prefer to play them on the most. And surprisingly, I get this question all the time. People will say, hey, what is your favorite way to play Game Boy Advance, for example? And that's what we're going to cover here today. Now, there are plenty of great handhelds out there, so it was a little bit challenging to narrow it down to just one per system, so I also have a couple contenders for each one, just so you know the variety of choice that you have for each system. Either way, I had a ton of fun putting this video together, and I think you'll enjoy it as well. And so grab a snack and drink, and let's go ahead and get started. Okay, as we get started, let's go over a few ground rules. The first thing is that I broke it up into three major categories. We have our handheld systems first. That's going to be everything from like Game Boy up through PS Vita and 3DS. Then I have our retro systems. That'll be everything from NES, basically up through Nintendo 64 and Dreamcast. And then finally, we have our not-so-retro consoles. That's everything from GameCube and PS2, all the way to current generation systems, things like Switch and Xbox and PlayStation 5. Next, one of the major factors that I usually put in all my videos is cost, and that was not a factor in this video here. Instead, I was looking at the optimal way to play each of these systems. So I'm looking at things like the screen and the controls, and then also if it has power to be able to play every game from that system. And so some of these may not be very practical decisions. Instead, I was looking at, okay, if I'm on a deserted island and I can only play Super Nintendo, how would I want to play those Super Nintendo games? And then finally, this is not a roundup of the best overall systems. I do a lot of videos like that. Just recently, I made a best handhelds under $100 video. This isn't going to be like that. For example, the Steam Deck is an excellent handheld. It's probably the best bang for your buck out there, and it can also emulate just about every system. But the main question comes down to whether or not you would want to play that game on the Steam Deck over any other handheld. And another example would be the Miu Mini Plus. This thing is awesome. It can play all the way up to PS1, and you can throw it in your pocket. But is it the best way to play all those systems? And you'll find that it's not on this list at all. And so what we're going to be focusing on is what handhelds really shine with certain consoles and why. So let's go ahead and jump into the handhelds category. We're going to start with Game Boy and Game Boy Color. And both of these actually have my same primary choice. And my primary choice here was the Funny Playing Game Boy Color. This is an FPGA console that will play both Game Boy and Game Boy Color really well. And I made a video about this device and all the others that we're going to be talking about today, so I'm not going to go too deep into the weeds, but I will say that for me, it is an excellent choice. It has the same look and feel of a Game Boy Color, and it can also play cartridges and also flashcards. Not only that, it has a nice bright LCD panel, so you can play this in any lighting environment. And so for me, this is kind of a mixture between the original feeling of a Game Boy and Game Boy Color, but then also some more modern aesthetics like a USB-C charging port. Now, there are plenty of other devices that can play Game Boy and Game Boy Color, and I have a couple other honorable mentions. I'll start with the Analog Pocket. This one was also designed with Game Boy and Game Boy Color in mind. In fact, it has a perfect 10x integer scale on the screen, which is really amazing. And it can also play original Game Boy cartridges and a bunch of other systems too. But as I mentioned in my FPGBC video, it just doesn't really click as a Game Boy to me like the FPGBC does. This one feels like a Game Boy, whereas the Analog Pocket just kind of feels like a jack of all trades. Now, both of these handhelds are FPGA systems. That means that they are using a hardware level emulation. Now, if we're talking about software emulation, I still think there's a pretty good choice out there, and it just recently came out. This is the PalKitty RGB20SX. It's the vertical version of the RGB30, which we'll be talking about later in this video. Now, I just finished a review of this device, and I gave it a pretty mediocre score overall, but I think when it comes to Game Boy and Game Boy Color and software emulation in particular, this one actually really shines. Obviously, the form factor is pretty nostalgia-inducing, but it has a really nice 1:1 aspect ratio screen that's a really good fit when it comes to Game Boy and Game Boy Color. Not only that, you have all the perks that come with software emulation, including retro achievements, different shaders and filters, and you can run save states and cheats and fast forward and rewind, all the things that come with software emulation. So I did want to leave this still on the list, even if it is a runner-up compared to the FPGBC. Okay, next up we have Game Boy Advance, and this one is pretty interesting because at different slices of time, I would have given you different answers. For example, back in 2020, I would have said that the Ambernic RG351P is the perfect example. This device runs at a 2x integer scale, and so the games are going to look nice and sharp and crisp, and it has a perfect 3:2 aspect ratio as well. And so if you are looking for a smallish Game Boy Advance device, I think this one is still a great choice, and you can get it for pretty cheap nowadays too. Now, if we flash forward a year or two later, we had the Ambernic RG552. This one also had an integer scale that basically filled up the whole screen and looked really excellent too. This device has a 5x3 aspect ratio and a resolution of 1920x1152, so it's actually a little bit higher than 1080p. And this footage here is integer scaled, which means that the pixels are perfectly balanced. And as you can see, it is taking up a bunch of the screen. Not only that, we have some pretty great controls, a D-pad up top, which is going to feel natural with the Game Boy Advance, and even though it's a little bit hefty, it feels nice and balanced. Now, the reason why this one is not my number one choice has to do with the battery life, because this thing will drain pretty quickly, not only when you're playing it, but when you have it turned off. A couple days later, the battery will be completely dead. And so from a practical perspective of actually playing this as a Game Boy Advance device, I find myself spending just too much time plugging it in to make it useful. Which leads me to my top pick for Game Boy Advance, and this is a newish device. It's called the TrimUI Smart Pro. Now, it's ironic because this device is kind of shaped like a PS Vita. In fact, it has those dome switch clicky controls like a PS Vita does. But I found this to be an excellent fit for Game Boy Advance. It has a 5-inch 720p screen that's nice and vibrant, and again, it has those same D-pad centric controls, and so I really enjoy playing Game Boy Advance on this device. In addition, the device is thin and lightweight, and the user navigation, even with stock firmware, is not too bad. On top of that, this device has Wi-Fi, so you can connect it to the internet for retro achievements, and then you can do all those software emulation things as well, you know, shaders and filters and fast forward and cheats and all that other stuff. And because Game Boy Advance is not a very demanding system on the emulator, you can put this into power save mode and get a lot of great battery life out of it as well. And so yeah, that's my current pick for Game Boy Advance. Let's move along in the timeline of Nintendo systems and now talk about Nintendo DS. Now, this one is a tricky category, much like with the 3DS, because controlling DS games really does require original hardware to get the exact experience. And there are software emulation handhelds out there that can play Nintendo DS pretty well. A good example would be the PalKitty RGB30. Because this one has a square aspect ratio, you can actually put the two screens one on top of one another. However, the big setback here is that the screens, when stacked on top of one another, get pretty small, even smaller than a regular DS. And this device does not have a touchscreen, so it's definitely not an optimal experience. Another good example would be just to use a high-power device with a larger screen, like the AYN Odin 2. You can put these two screens next to each other side by side, and they get pretty big. And on top of that, this one has a touchscreen, so you can tap on that when you need to. However, because it's a touchscreen, it's also not going to be able to work with those original styluses. You'll have to get one of those pens that have that rubber nub on the front. And so for me, software emulation just doesn't quite hit the mark. It doesn't really capture the spirit of the original DS. And so when it comes to my top pick for Nintendo DS, it may be no surprise, but I would rather play it on a DS or a 3DS. Now, personally, I liked playing it on a Nintendo DS. This just feels a lot like how it did back in the day. And thankfully, Nintendo DSs can be picked up on the used marketplace for really cheap, and so I think it is well worth it. Not only that, we've got plenty of choices when it comes to flashcards. These are the two that I use in particular. What I can do is load up all my NDS games here, and then no need to jailbreak the DS or anything, they will just load from the cartridge. I've been using the R4 one for years, but I recently got the Easy Flash Parallel, and this one's really nice. The user interface is not the best in the world, much like with all the others, but it allows you to get in and out of your games, and I really like the transparent shell. So yeah, my top pick for Nintendo DS would be a DS Lite, but if you've also got a 3DS, that one might be a better choice too, because that one can also play 3DS games, which happens to be our next topic. And to be honest, the experience that I just described with the DS is going to be the exact same with the 3DS, with a couple exceptions. For example, I don't really mind playing Nintendo 3DS on the iNeo Flip DS. This is a dual screen handheld PC, which as you can imagine is a pretty awesome fit for 3DS content. Not only that, the main 3DS emulator, which is called Citra, will allow you to have two separate windows open at once. And that's a great fit for the Flip DS because it needs those two different windows to be able to show them both in a full screen. But it is still going to have all those same setbacks of software emulation. For example, with the touchscreen, you won't be able to use a stylus, you'll have to use a rubber nub or just your finger. So this one isn't a perfect fit, and same thing with probably my other choice, which would be the AYN Odin 2. The reason why I like this one is because it's so powerful that you can play these games at a 4x upscaled resolution, which looks really sharp and crisp. And the Citra emulator does have an option to make one screen big and one screen small, which really will work with most 3DS games. games. However, if push came to shove and I had to pick the optimal way to play 3DS, it's still going to be on an original Nintendo 3DS. And much like with the DS, it just makes sense to play these games on these original consoles. After all, these games were designed with these consoles in mind. Now, to get the most out of a 3DS, I would recommend modding it, and I have a guide on that as well. That will basically unlock the whole console so that you can load your own 3DS games. And so yes, long story short, it's a no-brainer. 3DS games play the best on a 3DS. Next, let's move into the Sony console, starting with the Sony PSP. Now, playing on original hardware is still pretty good. You can load up some of your games on an SD card and then play them from there. And like with the 3DS, you know, the controls and the setup are just all made with this device in mind, so it is a pretty seamless experience. However, my main issue when playing PSP games doesn't have to do with the gameplay itself, but rather the battery, and that's because these old batteries are not aging well. In addition, I've never really found a third-party battery solution that overcomes some of these shortcomings. And so yes, you can definitely play PSP games on a PSP, but I do think that in this case, software emulation will be better. Now, the first choice would probably be the PlayStation Vita. After all, you can jailbreak this and then load up all of your games through an app called Adrenaline. And this will replicate the PSP environment, which is pretty awesome to navigate through, and then you can launch your games from here. And I would say that yes, if you've got a PS Vita, playing PSP games on this is pretty awesome. The only thing that's holding me back from making this my top pick is the fact that it doesn't have upscaling for most games. And so generally what you'll be doing is playing these games at a native resolution, but at double the pixel ratio. Everything will look balanced, but it also will look pretty fuzzy. And PSP is one of those systems where for most games, if you upscale the graphics, it's going to look amazing. And so I do think that software emulation is a viable choice for this one. And I have two main choices for this. We'll start with my runner-up, which is going to be the Logitech G Cloud. This one has a 7-inch 1080p display and just enough power to play most games at a 4x or 1080p resolution. Not only that, it's a really comfortable device to hold, and so I can play this thing for hours on end, and it's pretty great that most PSP games will play really well. My only hesitation in not making this my number one is the fact that there are some games that will only run at a 3x or even a 2x resolution. And then also, it's not a device that is D-pad centric, which means that the analog stick is up top, which is going to be great for games that use the analog stick primarily. But for most other games, you will have to shift your hand to use that D-pad, and it's not super comfortable. And so instead, I started to explore other devices that would give me the best benefit of playing PlayStation Portable with a more D-pad centric design. Now, my first pick was the Retroid Pocket 3 Plus. This one can play most PSP games at a 3x resolution, which will fill out the display of this really nicely. In addition, it's got a D-pad centric design, which is pretty great too. However, the analog sticks are not great, and the start and select placement is at the top of the device, which is always awkward. And so that led me to think about maybe the Retroid Pocket Flip instead. Now, this is a clamshell, which is awesome, so if you want a clamshell PSP, this is basically your best option. In addition, this one has analog sliders, which kind of feels like the original PSP in that regard. And so this one is still also a great way to play PSP, but it's not my optimal choice, and that happens to be the Retroid Pocket 4. Now, there are several reasons why I like this one the most. Number one is the fact that it has a lot of power, so you can play these games at a 3x, 4x resolution. You can definitely max out the pixels on this display and get excellent gameplay as well. In addition, it has really excellent Hall sensor analog sticks, which are a joy to use compared to the other Retroid devices. And so I think this one is kind of a perfect storm, in the sense that it has an aspect ratio and resolution that really fits the PSP, plus it's D-pad centric, and has nice analog controls as well. And then finally, our last handheld system is going to be the Sony PS Vita. This one's a pretty easy category. There is software emulation out there, and you can do it on PC and also on Android, but I've never really found it to be up to snuff, especially when compared to the original hardware. And so it is kind of a cop-out, but yeah, if you're going to play PS Vita games, just get a PS Vita. You can find them for relatively cheap, usually under $200 in the used marketplace, and they're just going to play all these games natively. And it's really easy to mod or jailbreak the device. I've got a whole guide about that as well, and that will unlock the entire catalog, so you'll be able to play every PS Vita game directly on there. And so yeah, the best way to enjoy the PS Vita catalog is going to be on the original PS Vita. Okay, let's now move into the retro console space. This one is a little bit contentious because it was very hard for me to pick a favorite among these. And I think that's because there are many handhelds that will play these systems well in various shapes and sizes. So again here, we're going to start with the easiest to play systems and then work our way up. So we will start with the NES, one of my favorite consoles of all time. Now, I surprised myself with this one because my top choice was not like the most glamorous device at all. In fact, what I picked was the Ambernic RG35XXH. Now, there are many reasons why this probably isn't the ultimate way to play NES. It's not going to have perfect integer scaling, the screen size is only 3.5 inches, but there's something about this handheld that keeps me coming back to it for NES in particular. It's got a nice shape and form to it, it's easily pocketable, and it has a D-pad-centric design with excellent controls. In addition, it has all the perks I would want with software emulation. So, Wi-Fi and Bluetooth for my retro achievements and multiplayer gameplay, but then also HDMI out if I want to plug it into a TV, and we can do all those things related to software emulation, including save states and fast forward and cheats. And so yeah, all around, I found that I enjoy the RG35XXH the most when it comes to NES emulation. And I'd also say that some of it has to do with the fact that the shape of this device kind of reminds me of an old NES controller in the fact that it's a little bit blocky. Now, another blocky device that was my runner-up is the PalKitty RGB30. This one has a larger display and with a higher resolution, so from a graphic standpoint, this one is definitely superior. However, I do prefer the size and the controls on the RG35XXH. Now, moving along, when it comes to Super Nintendo, I also think that the 35XXH is an excellent fit. And most of those are the same reasons as they are with the NES. However, in this regard, I do think that there are a couple systems that are better. We're going to start with the Ambernic RG552. This is the one that I briefly mentioned when we were talking about Game Boy Advance. This one has that 5x3 aspect ratio with a super high resolution. And so as a result, playing Super Nintendo games on here looks really good. Even when you integer scale it, it still takes up most of the screen. So this is also an excellent choice, but it has all those same battery issues we were talking about with Game Boy Advance, and so for that reason, it's not my number one pick. Instead, we're going to go back to the RGB30. This one has a 1x1 aspect ratio and a 720x720 resolution. This will allow us to play Super Nintendo games at an 8x7 aspect ratio with overscale on with integer scaling. And this will essentially fill up most of the screen and also be integer scaled, so we have nice chunky pixels. Now, you can also do this with NES, but I found that it cuts off too much of the screen, but with Super Nintendo, it's a really great fit. And so yes, this is my choice for Super Nintendo emulation, and the exact same can be done with the TurboGrafx-16 or CD consoles as well. It actually makes this device an excellent fit for other systems too, including like Neo Geo Pocket Color, Game Gear, and Pico 8. I've made a bunch of videos about this device. Either way, we're going to stick to our major like Sega Nintendo consoles, so let's move on to the next one, which is going to be both the Sega Genesis and Sega CD and 32X. I'm going to kind of lump them together. Now with this device, same thing. I do like playing it with the RG35XXH. The only thing that really holds me back with this one is the control scheme. After all, it was a 3-button or 6-button configuration with these controllers. Now, software emulation does a pretty good job of making that all work. Essentially, your A, B, C buttons will be the left, bottom, and right buttons. And so it takes a little bit of time to hardwire your brain to think like that, but it's definitely doable. However, if we're looking for the optimal way to play these three systems, then I would recommend the Ambernic RG Arc. This device has a bunch of perks specific for the Sega Genesis systems. Number one, it has a 4-inch display that's also 4x3 and a 480p resolution. This means that Sega Genesis, Sega CD, and 32X content is going to scale perfectly on this display. In addition, it's got the wonderful Sega look to it, then also a 6-button layout and one of those floating D-pads like on the Sega Saturn and the original Sega Genesis. And so yeah, I think this one is a great fit for all these Sega Genesis related systems. It also does pretty good with Sega Saturn, but it doesn't have the power to play all those systems. And so I really like playing it with the 16-bit generation era instead. Speaking of Sega Saturn, let's move on and talk about this one. Now I have some pretty picky demands when it comes to this. Number one, I want to be able to play most of these games without having to use frame skip, so we are going to need a lot of power. In addition, I prefer to play these games the most accurate way possible, which means using the Beetle core within RetroArch, which is also very power hungry. And so really when it comes down to it, there are only two systems that I would even consider for Sega Saturn for the most part. The first is going to be the Steam Deck. This one has a 16x10 aspect ratio, which means that these 4x3 games are going to fill up most of the screen and they look awesome. In addition, the Steam Deck has so much power that you can play the Beetle Core and then throw a heavy duty shader on top as well. And so I do think this is an excellent fit, but I found that it's not the one I primarily use with Sega Saturn games. Instead, I prefer to play them with the Odin 2. Now, this one is an Android-based device, but can also play that Beetle Core and has plenty of power, so I can play all these games at that native resolution, and they look amazing. And if you'd like, you can also throw on some shaders, and for the most part, they will play at full speed too. And so it is a bit of a tie between the two. I think that they both play Sega Saturn equally well, but I don't know, maybe it's just the overall size and battery life of the Odin 2, but I prefer that one over the Steam Deck. So now let's move on to PlayStation 1, and this one also has Odin 2 as a contender. It's not the number one choice, but it is my runner-up. And this one works great on the Odin 2. You can actually upscale it to a 5x or a 1080p resolution. All these games are going to play great. However, for me, I found that the PlayStation 1 system that I enjoy playing the most is the Ambernic RG405M. This one has the same display as the RG Arc we were talking about before, so it's 4 inches, 480p resolution, and it's a perfect match for the PS1. And there's a couple reasons why I like this over the Odin 2. Number one is that I like playing these games at a 480p max resolution because it reminds me of playing these games back in the day on the PS1. And so much like with Saturn, I don't really feel the need to upscale PS1 games. In addition, there's nothing like playing a 4x3 system on a 4x3 aspect ratio, and so it's an excellent fit in that regard too. And so yeah, I kind of surprised myself by picking the RG405M as my number one PS1 choice. It's the only time that it actually won throughout all of these systems. And it is a little bit funny considering that this can also play all the Nintendo 64 and Dreamcast games at 480p as well. However, for those two systems, which we're going to lump together in this category, I actually prefer not to play them on the 405M, and it all comes down to the controls. And I found that for these two systems in particular, there are many games that rely on the triggers as their primary input. For example, a driving game or a shooting game, and those just aren't a great fit for the RG405M. And so for some games, like F-Zero on Nintendo 64, sure, the 405M is great because you don't really use those triggers at all. And it'll be the same story when it comes to Dreamcast games that don't require the trigger controls. I think it's an excellent fit. However, when you try to play a game that does have triggers, you know, something like Cruisin' USA or maybe Sega Rally 2 on the Dreamcast, both of these you have to kind of reach up and it just doesn't feel very comfortable. Now, another handheld I like to play with these systems is the Odin 2. I know I'm bringing this one up a bunch, but it is one of my favorites. The thing I like about this one is that, one, you can upscale them to 1080p, no problem, but then also it's a widescreen device, which means that widescreen games, if they have that support within widescreen cheats or hacks, they look awesome as well. And so if you are looking to play, you know, like remastered versions of Nintendo 64 and Dreamcast, then I think this is an excellent fit. However, when it came to the optimal experience, I do prefer playing these games in 4x3, much like how they were originally. And again, I also think these games look great at 480p, so I don't need them at a full HD resolution of 1080p. 480p is great. But then again, I would also like to have trigger inputs and analog triggers if possible, because the Dreamcast had an analog trigger input. And so when you put that all together, my favorite system for this is kind of surprising, but it's the Retroid Pocket 2S. This is a 4x3 system that has analog triggers and Hall sensor analog sticks, and it has that 480p resolution. It's only 3.5 inches, so not the biggest screen in the world, but I think it is a great fit for both Nintendo 64 and Dreamcast. And so yeah, this one is my favorite way to play those two systems in particular. I kind of surprised myself. I thought it would be the Odin 2, but no, there's nothing like playing a 4x3 system on a 4x3 device. Okay, we are now 2/3 of the way done. We've talked about our handheld systems and our retro consoles. Now we're going to move into the not-so-retro systems. That's going to be GameCube and above. And when it comes to the GameCube, I had two major choices. The first was the Odin 2. This one can play all games at like a 3x or higher resolution. They just look amazing on here. In addition, it's pretty amazing to be able to play the whole GameCube catalog on a device that just kind of fits in your hands like this. And for the most part, the majority of GameCube games that I play are on the Odin 2. I've got several different save files going at once. However, if we're talking about the optimal way to play GameCube, it's not the Odin 2. I think that the Steam Deck, especially the OLED version, is the top choice. There's a few reasons for it. Number one, it has a 16:10 aspect ratio, which means that the original 4x3 content of GameCube is still going to fill up a lot of the screen. And these games look huge on the Steam Deck 7-inch display. However, it's not those components that really set it apart for me. It's something that's completely different, and it has to do with the difference between the PC and Android versions of the Dolphin emulator. On the PC side, you can set up hotkeys however you would like. For example, fast forwards and save states, closing out of a game, upscaling the resolution, changing the aspect ratio. You can do all of that with the combination of the buttons, which means that you don't have to go into the settings. Meanwhile, on the Android side, you don't have any of those hotkeys. So if you want to fast forward like a cutscene that you don't want to watch, unfortunately, you just kind of have to sit through it. And so from a quality of life standpoint, I do think it's better to play it on the Steam Deck than on the Odin 2, if you have both of them to choose from. I'm in a lucky position where I have them both, but oddly, I still play on the Odin 2 more, and it's just because it's more portable and I have it with me more often. And so these are pretty neck and neck, but I would give the Steam Deck a little bit of an edge because of those hotkeys. Now, surprisingly, it's an opposite experience with me when it comes to PlayStation 2. The Steam Deck and the Odin 2 are definitely the top two contenders for me, but I would prefer to play them on the Odin 2. Some of it does come down to those hotkeys we were just talking about. On Aether SX2, which is the PS2 emulator on Android, you do have the ability to set hotkeys, which makes it a lot more easy to use. But the feature that sets Odin 2 over the Steam Deck for me with PlayStation 2 emulation has to do with the performance. The Steam Deck can play every PS2 game, no problem, but it's mostly going to be at a native or 2x, sometimes 3x resolution. Meanwhile, the Odin 2 can play basically everything up to a 3x resolution and beyond without breaking a sweat. And so it just kind of takes some of that guesswork out to figure out, okay, how far can I push this device? You have to think about that with the Steam Deck, but you don't with the Odin 2. It just will play all the games. Now, unfortunately, development on the Android PS2 emulator has stopped, and so there may be a point where the Steam Deck features kind of outweigh the Odin 2, but at least as it stands right now, yeah, I would rather play PS2 games on my Odin 2. Okay, and finally, our last Generation 6 system will be the original Xbox, and I gotta admit, I do not have a choice for this one. When it comes down to it, emulation of the original Xbox just really isn't there for me to enjoy it to the point where I would prefer to play it on a handheld over just a regular desktop PC. After all, there is no Android emulator for this system, so you can't even play it on something like the Odin 2, and even then, when you try to play it on, say, the Steam Deck or a handheld PC, the performance just really isn't there. You can play a lot of games at a native resolution, but even then, you will get compatibility issues or just a lot of slowdown, and so it's just not a great experience. I'd say that if you really want to play Xbox on a handheld, your best solution would be to take a 7840U handheld PC, that's going to be one of the top-tier handhelds, and then dual boot it into Botticera, which is a Linux-based operating system. And that's because whatever magical wizardry they have within Botticera does make a lot of these Xbox games play well. However, I think that's just one too many hoops to jump through to actually enjoy Xbox on a handheld, and even then, compatibility will make it so that many games will just not play at all. And so if anything, yeah, I would say try to emulate it on just a desktop PC, or, you know, see what games are within the Xbox catalog, and you can just play them through Game Pass or something else like that. Anyway, yeah, the Xbox is the one where I just don't really have a choice, because I don't think that the emulation is there for us to really enjoy it on a handheld just yet. So let's move up one generation. We'll start with the Wii U. Now, I've got two choices here, and honestly, my top choice is going to be the Steam Deck. And a lot of this just comes down to the fact that these games play really well on the CMU emulator via Steam Deck and EmuDeck. And so this is a pretty easy choice for me in that I just enjoy playing these games on the Steam Deck the most. And there are a bunch of other handheld PCs that can play Wii U absolutely no problem, but I don't know, something about the Steam Deck just really fits for me. I don't know if it's the control scheme where the analog sticks are up top, kind of like the original Wii U gamepad, but yeah, I really like that. Now, another option would be the iNeo Flip DS. I talked about this with the 3DS emulator, and this is the one where you can have both screens going at once. And for many Wii U games, that works out really well. I did a whole video about that. But I have to be honest, the catalog is kind of bare bones when it comes to that, and so I just don't think that it's really worth that much effort. Now, if there are dual-screen Wii U games that you absolutely want to see both screens at once, then sure, the Flip DS is a great choice. But I think for the majority of the catalog, I would rather just play it on the Steam Deck. A great example of the Steam Deck and Wii U would be playing Breath of the Wild. This one can be changed to play at a 16:10 aspect ratio, so it's going to fill up the whole screen. And I can also upscale it to a perfect 800p, so it's going to match the display. And it looks amazing and plays really well. So yes, long story short, for the Wii U, I prefer to play it on the Steam Deck. Now for our next two systems, which is PS3 and Xbox 360, these are also very similar, so I'm going to kind of lump them together again. When it comes to emulating these two systems, it really does come down to the chipset, and the Ryzen 7840U I was just talking about when it comes to original Xbox emulation works the best when it comes to PS3 and Xbox 360 as well. Now a similar chipset to that will be the Z1 Extreme, which you can find in the Legion Go as well as the ROG Ally. And so these two handheld PCs can also play Xbox 360 and PS3 very well. In fact, I really like playing them on the ROG Ally. It's a very comfortable handheld to use, and so this is one of my top picks when it comes to PS3 and Xbox 360. The only thing that really holds it back is the battery life, and that's because the battery on the ROG Ally is fairly small. And so if you're really pushing it and playing some of those high-end PS3 or 360 games, you're really only going to get maybe an hour of battery life altogether. Instead, I think that the best solution is going to be a device that I honestly don't recommend at all buying because it's so expensive, but it's the iNeo Kun. Now, this device gets a lot of things wrong, especially when it comes to the software and some of the control issues as well. However, there are three things that it gets very right. The first is the massive screen. This thing is 8.4 inches, 16:10 aspect ratio. It takes up a ton of space. In addition, this thing has a power profile that will go all the way up to 54 watts. And when it comes to PS3 emulation in particular, the more power you throw into it, the more performance you're going to get. And to top that off, it has a 75 watt hour battery, one of the biggest in the market right now. That's basically a laptop battery. And so when you put it together, we've got a big screen, some pretty good controls, a big battery, and a lot of power to throw at it as well. And so it's kind of a perfect storm when it comes to Xbox 360 and PS3. Now, spending like $1,500 on a handheld just to play those two systems is kind of crazy, but if we are looking for the optimal way to play these systems right now on a handheld, it's definitely got to be this one. Okay, and finally, our last emulated system is going to be Nintendo Switch. Now, this one also has two contenders. You've heard about these ones before. It's going to be the Steam Deck and the Odin 2. And honestly, this is almost a tie between them. The Steam Deck does a really good job with emulation, and we've got multiple emulators to choose from. And so in addition to an archive version of Yuzu, which is no longer in development, we also can play Ryujinx on this. And so we've got two different major options to be able to play Nintendo Switch games on the deck. Not only that, Switch emulation is really optimized for the Steam Deck. In fact, this is one of the only systems that can play Tears of the Kingdom at a pretty good frame rate. In fact, this is how I beat the game last year. I played it exclusively on the Steam Deck. That was so that I could use cheats and other things that are related to emulation. And so I do think that the Steam Deck is an excellent choice when it comes to emulating Nintendo Switch games. Most games are going to play fine. However, much like when it came to PlayStation 2, I do prefer playing it on the Odin 2. There's a few reasons for that. Number one is that the Android version of the Yuzu emulator, which is no longer in development, still works really well, and it has native code execution, or NCE. This essentially means that the games are going to play very similar to how they did on the Nintendo Switch, because the Switch is also using an ARM-based chip. And so this does give Android a really great benefit when it comes to emulating a Nintendo Switch. Not only that, you can play many of the games in docked mode, which means that some of them will run into 1080p, which is the native aspect ratio of the Odin 2. And so this ends up being a superior experience compared to playing a Nintendo Switch in handheld mode. In addition, the majority of the Switch games that I like to play are lightweight. I'm not usually playing a lot of blockbusters. And so as a result, these are also an excellent fit for the Odin 2. The battery life is going to be amazing on it. So again, much like when it came to like GameCube and PS2, these are kind of neck and neck, but I do give the Odin 2 an edge over the Steam Deck, mostly because of battery life and the ability to play it in docked mode for most games. Okay, so that's really it when it comes to emulated systems, but I did want to touch a little bit on streaming. And that's because it is a very viable way of playing more modern consoles like the Xbox Series as well as PlayStation 5. Now, when it comes to Xbox, we've got two major choices. I would say it either comes down to the Logitech G Cloud or using a phone with a telescopic controller. The Logitech Cloud is awesome. It's got that 7-inch screen on it, 1080p resolution, so it's going to scale really well when it comes to playing these games through the Xbox. So in addition of remote play of just, you know, playing your Xbox console somewhere else, you can also use Game Pass through the Android app. And this device is easily one of the most comfortable out there, and it also has long battery life, and so you can play this thing forever, and it's going to feel pretty comfortable along the way. However, if I had to choose between the two, I think I would rather play this with a phone or a tablet, but then hooked up to the GameSir G8 telescopic controller. And I made a review about this one, but one of my major comments about it is that it feels like an Xbox controller, just with a phone in the middle of it. And so yeah, if I had to choose between the two, I would go with the GameSir G8, just because it feels so much like an original Xbox experience. And it's kind of a similar story when it comes to using the GameSir G8 or another telescopic controller with PlayStation 4 and 5. Now there's an app both for Android and iOS called PS Play. That'll allow you to remote play with your PS4 and PS5, and I think it's an excellent solution. So if you are looking to play those two systems, the GameSir G8 or a similar telescopic controller will work really well with your phone or tablet. However, if you want the ultimate experience of being able to play a PS5 game in the most PS5-like way, then I would actually recommend the PS Portal. Now, this thing is pretty ridiculous. It's expensive and only does one thing, which is to play PlayStation games, and even then, sometimes it doesn't do a great job. However, ever since picking it up last year, it's the only way that I play PS5 games via streaming, and that's because it's just a very similar experience to actually playing a PS5. After all, it's essentially a DualSense controller with a tablet in between. The battery life on this is pretty great, and you know, when it works, it really works well. So again, if we're talking about the optimal or my favorite way of playing any of these systems, and it comes down to playing PS5 remotely, then sure, I'm gonna play it on the PS Portal. Anyway, that's really about it for this video. This is a lot longer than I was expecting, and that's because I did want to take the time to kind of justify why I made each of these picks for every system. As you can imagine, I spent a lot of time thinking about this. I busted out spreadsheets and everything, and I tested out every single handheld over the past few days to really narrow down my choices. However, what I'm most interested in hearing are your choices. If you had to make your own list, what changes would you make from mine and why? I think there are many different ways to enjoy these retro and not so retro systems, and so I'm always interested in hearing those other perspectives. So let me know what you think down below, and as always, thank you for watching. Be sure to like and subscribe if you found this helpful, and we'll see you next time. Happy gaming.